Hello and welcome to the Talking Locks with Lucky Tooth podcast. My name is Ade Balogun. Well, we're going to be coloring Mia's hair, so I'm sure I can hear myself. I can hear the gloves coming off the paper and all of that background noise. But as you already know, this is Chair Convos. So I do have my clients in the chair and we're going to have conversations that make us happy while we're getting our hair done. So Mia, let's get to meet you.
What do you want to know?
Okay, let's make it easy. How long have you had your locks?
I started my locks in 2020. So April 2020. And I started like instant locks. And they were probably like, I don't know, this long. So like 2 inches or something like that.
And Nia's hair is like down past her bra strap right now. So you do have crazy growth.
Well, shout out to my daughter because the prenatal pills definitely worked because they weren't this long before I got pregnant. So,
okay, so April of 2020, that was like the beginning-ish of the pandemic when everybody was trying to figure out what's happening and what's not happening.
Yep.
And what made you make that decision at that time?
Kind of battled with the decision of if I wanted to get locks, like for probably like 10 years before that, really. And then I just woke up and I guess I was bored because we was in a pandemic and I was like, oh, I guess I'm ready to do it. Yeah. And I found someone who came to our house to do it. So it was like really nice and like convenient. So
how did you like the feel of the instant locks when you did it?
It was good. It felt like actual locks. So it was, I mean, it was all my hair. So I didn't get like extensions or anything. But it felt like my hair, it felt like locks and it was kind of like the quote unquote easy way out. So I was like, all right, we gonna do that. Cause I didn't want to go through like the ugly stage. Yeah. Exactly. Cause I'm we skipping it.
So for those of us who are the originals, I'm just kidding. Locks are locks, regardless of how you get them. The only thing is the instant locks take some time.
Yeah.
And I only do things I love. So if you wanted me to crochet your locks right now, I wouldn't be the one for you. So I'm happy pommeling your hair, and your hair actually looks great.
Thanks.
Okay, so today we're getting your hair dyed kind of like a ash blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we dyeing your hair? Why do you want this color?
I don't know. I used to go like, before I had locks, I used to go like crazy with my hair colors, like red, and I just used to go wild. But like the tips are, you know, brown or whatever from like a previous dye that just grew out over time. But every once in a while, I like to dye my hair, and I don't know why I usually go like lighter brown or whatever. But
well, I think it suits your skin tone.
Yeah.
So that works.
Yeah.
All right. So, Nia, you are a recent mom.
Yes, I am.
How was that whole process of bringing life into the world?
The pregnancy, I guess we'll start there. The pregnancy was cool. Overall, I think I had a good pregnancy. The first trimester, I literally was dying. Like,
You had all the morning sickness and everything?
Yeah. Morning, afternoon, night. They call it morning sickness. They should really just call it sickness because it happens all throughout the day. I couldn't walk my dog. It was horrible. Like, I couldn't do nothing. Second trimester, it got much, much better. I felt, like, energized. I was able to do things. And then the third trimester, I kind of just got really lazy because I was... Like, I'm a small person, but I had a really big belly, and it was
all
baby. And
she's your first.
Yeah, yep, all baby, and she was, like, 8 pounds and 13 ounces when she was born. So, like, yeah, she was a big baby, and that was kind of that. But labor and birth was, like, a total of 11 hours, which they say is quick, but it didn't feel quick at all because I was in pain. But overall, it was cool. It was good. I had... like a birth center birth. So I went to like the birth center, had a midwife, a doula, a birth assistant. And my goal was to have like a water birth in the water, but I ended up having my daughter on the bed, but I got into the water twice. So that was cool.
Okay. Is there any particular reason why they opted not to do the water birth?
It wasn't that I, okay, so like during my birth, when I first got there, I didn't think that, or the midwife didn't think that I was actually in labor. She thought that I was just stressing out and like anxious or whatever. So she actually, I went in so that she can check my cervix so that she can give me like a pill that will like kind of calm my system, like calm me down because I was like freaking out and I like,
I was in pain. Had your water broken?
My water had broke at the beginning of my, like that's how I knew I went into labor, which it doesn't happen to like a lot of people.
You're gonna call me later,
right?
Okay. You're welcome.
But yeah, so like my water broke in that night at 10:30 or 11:30. And basically, I like kind of kept calling the midwife throughout the night and stuff like that. I couldn't really sleep and things like that. So she thought I was just being like anxious as first time mom. I got there, she checked my cervix. I was 5 centimeters dilated.
Ooh. You're
yeah.
ready.
Yeah. So she was like, oh, we're going to check you in. Like, no, you here to stay. I was like, okay. And then she got, like, the water ready, my doula. Oh, they told me to call my doula and tell her to come. So we did that. She was already there. And then the birth assistant, which is, like, the nurse to the doctor in the hospital setting, we called her and she came.
Okay. I have questions.
Yes.
What is the difference between a birth center birth and a hospital birth?
Well, I guess the birth center is like no medical staff. Like they're midwives and they're like medical professionals, but they're not
nurses, doctors.
Yeah, like they're not like doctors and like nurses. Like they could go, like they have the education to go and like work in a hospital if they wanted to. But it's like the more, I guess, non-traditional. I personally think that going to like a birth center, having a home birth is a traditional way of
birthing a child.
Yeah, like birthing your child. But in this society, I feel like they don't see it that way. So it's like, I guess I would call it the non-traditional way of doing things.
But you purposefully opted for a birth center.
Yeah. Are you going to ask me why? Because I was about to start.
Yes.
There's a couple of reasons. One, when I thought of myself giving birth, I never thought of myself giving birth in a hospital because I don't really trust hospitals and I don't really trust doctors, especially being a Black woman. I think that, like, I've been in the hospital for, like, regular things, and I would be like, hey, I'm in pain about this, and they would just literally ignore me. So I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to give, you know, I don't want to give birth a life, like, literally you can die in labor. And, I didn't want to give birth at a hospital. And I understand, like, some people, they'll say, well, you know, if something goes wrong, like, you're in the hospital setting already, it's good, whatever, whatever. But for me, like, something going wrong was really never, like, a thought. Like,
a risk.
I thought about it, of course, but I wasn't, I don't know, like, they say, like, don't have a plan B or your plan B is going, like, you're going to have to go.
It's going to be a plan A.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, like, kind of like that thought process. Like, my only plan was for me to go to the birth center. Of course, when you do that throughout in your entire pregnancy, they're evaluating you. They're not just, like, oh, you're going to have a birth center birth. No. If at some point during your journey, they feel like
they see something.
Yeah, they see something in your ultrasound or something like that. Or, you know, if things become, like, risky, they're not going to take the chance either to, you know, have you birth at their center. So they'll send you to the hospital or whatever. And so you kind of plan for that as well. But my thought process was like, if I'm healthy and if all is good, I'm having this baby at this birth center. So, yeah.
Makes sense to me. Can you tell me a little bit about what the doula's
role
is in this journey? And how is the doula different from a midwife? And the, like, what did you call them? The nurse assistant?
The birth assistant.
The birth assistant. Mm-hmm. Like, is that just a personal birth assistant? Is she someone to just cheer you on while you're having the baby?
So the so a midwife is the medical professional. The birth assistant is a medical professional as well. But they're more like nurse to doctor. So the midwife would be equivalent to the doctor that's actually going to help you, like, get your baby out and stuff like that. The birth assistant is like the nurse. So, like, during the time, like, when I, excuse me, at the birth center, they had to take, like a kind of play-by-play, like almost every minute during my birth, like what was happening. And so, like, that was
the birth. Were they telling that to you or?
No, they were writing it down. They're transcribing it into their notes.
Okay. Which, so it's like, all very professional. It's not just old African lady in the back of the
horse. No. It's definitely very professional. It's very thorough. They definitely do like a really great job. So shout out to my birth assistant. So the birth assistant is like the nurse. And she just does what like the nurse thing does. Like whenever after my baby was born, she was the one who taught me how to latch my baby on and things like that. The doula is someone who is more like emotional support and just support in general for the family. And that goes throughout your entire pregnancy. Like, I saw my midwife throughout my pregnancy, just like I would, like, my OB if I went to the doctor.
So you actually don't have an OBGYN throughout all of this?
No, yeah. You go to your midwives, yeah. I mean, you can, like, if you have an outside OB, you can go to them, but it's really no point because they're going to...
Same thing?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You do the same thing with them and... as you would, like, your midwife and stuff like that. So for my my doula was someone who, who I wanted, I wanted a doula because I wanted, like, that extra support. She was someone who, if I had a question about birth, I could text her at any time of the day or call her any time of the day and she would answer. I called her one time because I was very uncomfortable sleeping on my back. And I was told that, you know, you're not supposed to sleep on your stomach during when you're pregnant, once you become like a certain size. Number of weeks. Yeah, like a certain size. And my doula was like, no, that's not true. She was like, as long as you're comfortable, you can sleep on your stomach. The moment that you become uncomfortable, because your baby will tell you if they're uncomfortable, they'll kick and like do things like that. Then you'll know, like, okay, no more sleeping on my stomach. And so it's like questions like that, that like my doula was there to answer for me during pregnancy. And then she was a great like coach throughout like my birth. Like we did like spinning babies. It's like a technique that a lot of pregnant people, not just like people who do birth center births, but a lot of pregnant people who's like learn about it. If you do like a birthing class, you learn about like spinning babies and stuff.
What does that mean?
It's just, I think it's a company, but they just talk about like different ways to ease like your birth pains. So like different breathing techniques, certain things that you can actually do throughout your pregnancy to help like your baby, to help your birth be as smooth as possible. And that's for hospital and or, you know, birth center birth. It doesn't matter. But so we did like a lot of that during my birth. She gave me like this little peanut ball. It literally was in the shape of a peanut that I slept with, like between my legs, like helped me, you know, like spread my hips and things like that. She gave me like different teas like okra tea and okra water and like raspberry leaf tea that helps with like when it's time for birth, like just having it so that your baby can just come out a lot easier than, you know, I guess they would if you may not have taken that. So a doula is just there to support you and your family. She was there for any questions that, you know, my spouse had. And you know, they were the two in the room, my spouse and my doula, they were the two in the room that was really, like, physically helping me. Like, she, you know, she knew certain things to do and things like that that would help, like, ease my labor pains, really. So not that it always helped because the contractions.
It's labor anyway, right?
Yeah, like the contractions is going to contract, but yeah.
Okay, that's actually quite interesting. And do you know, in your experience, it sounds like the doula was a very personal interaction. So it's not mm-hmm. like you have group doulas where you have maybe 3-4 pregnant women and you all are like seeing the same doula. Because I would imagine in the traditional setting, sorry to cut you off, you have like antenatal classes where they start to teach you some things and mm-hmm. some techniques. And if I was going to liken it to maybe what the doula does, maybe, is it like a group? Or do you know? Yours sounds very personal.
Yeah, so like usually you get a doula. So I did do a birthing class. And during the birthing class, a lot of the time the teachers in the birthing class, they are like midwives or doulas or something like that. They have that experience typically, like in the classes. However, like my experience with like my doula was very personal. Like she had other clients, but when it came to like me and like my family and things like that and being there during the pregnancy, during birth, and then even after birth, you know, it was very personal. It was very one-on-one. Like,
and after this experience, if you were going to do it again, would you use a doula?
Yeah, I would. I would probably not do it again, but because raising babies is hard. But no, if I were to get pregnant again, I would do it the exact same way. I wouldn't change a thing.
Okay, all right, that sounds good. That sounds awesome. So what's so difficult about raising babies? You just have them, they're cute, they run around, they make you smile. What else do you want?
Yeah, they do all of that. And honestly, if I'm being completely honest, like my baby is like literally the happiest baby ever. And I'm not just saying that because I'm her mom. Like everyone says that about her. Like she's so happy. Like she rarely cries. Like she's just amazing. So like she does really make being a mom easier. But it's like, I don't really know how to explain it. Like you just, like being a parent is hard. Like you just.
You have a whole other person.
Yeah, like you have someone that you're responsible for. You just, you know, you got to come out your pocket with more money. You know what I'm saying? You got to always think about them. You can't just get up and go whenever you want. And me, like I'm a very like intentional parent and I try to make sure that like, you know, I'm just there for her in certain ways.
How old is she now?
She's 10 months.
Okay, all right. Yeah. You're a very new mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you already have like a one-year party planned out? What you
oh, for
do?
Sure. I'm a planner. We're going to the Leesburg Animal Safari. I'm excited.
Okay. So. Okay, yep. All right. I just learned something new. Now I know there's this animal safari in Leesburg.
Yes.
That's just around the corner. So.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's cool. Well, speaking about trips, I know you did mention you went on a baby moon mm-hmm. when you were pregnant. Mm-hmm. What is a baby moon? A honeymoon for the baby?
Yeah. So basically, it's a honeymoon for the baby. So it's like, well, it's not really for the baby. It's to celebrate the fact that you guys are like expecting, but it's also to kind of focus on like this is probably the last time that it's just gonna be the two of us, like
okay.
You know, so like in a couple of months or whenever you know, I went at around 6 months, I think, because at 7 months I think they recommend not flying or something like that. So I went around 6 months, and yeah, it's really just a time to like focus on you two, to have some relaxation, to just enjoy each other's company before the baby comes, because, you know, after the baby comes, your life
changes.
It's forever changed. So, yeah.
Okay. How was that trip?
It was really good.
Where'd y'all go?
We went to Puerto Rico, Ponce, Puerto Rico. It was very relaxing. Yeah, it was like pretty chill. We were like immersed in their culture. Like we stayed at a resort, but the resort was, you know, like the moment that you leave at a resort, it's not like like you're in, you know, their place, mm-hmm. like in their city. And so we tried a lot of like local food that was really great. Yeah, it wasn't like super touristy. Like it was about 45 minutes outside of San Juan. So it wasn't super touristy, which, I enjoyed, and I just got to relax and enjoy the resort. And we went off the resort a lot. And we just got to enjoy their culture. And it was really cool.
Okay. All right. That's one for the books. So, all right. Yeah. Should get my spouse to start setting money aside for whenever we're going to have a baby moon. Because now I know.
Yes.
I'm in the know.
It's important.
So, you did decide intentionally to have your baby outside wedlock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Why?
One, I'm not religious. So the idea of having a child out of wedlock, like being a sin, like the Bible would talk about or whatever, is not something that I care about because I'm not religious. I don't know. I struggle with the idea of marriage. Like of course, like growing up, you see the Cinderellas and things like that, and they find their prince charming and stuff like that. So like you, like as a young girl, you're like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. And as I got older, I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think I want to really get married. And then I met like my spouse, and I was like I wanted to get married, but not like I wanted to get, like I was okay with getting married, like, but just as in the wedding, like the wedding, the ring, and like we don't have to sign no paperwork. Like, because I just feel like I've seen personally like so many, I've seen a few ugly divorces, and I've seen a lot of people who are married who are not like what I would picture as being married. Like they don't act married. They're just married to say that they're married, and that's kind of it. There's no real, at least in my opinion, like love between them. I just think they just coexist.
So what I'm hearing you say is that first, there's no shame in not being married and having a child to you. Mm-hmm. And the concept of the marriage itself is not something that you felt is binding because of how many marriages tend to turn out, especially in 2024.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yep, exactly. And I think that now that I have a child, I don't know, I'm struggling with how I actually feel. A part of me want to get married because I think that it's important, you know, like, and it's important not because of religion, but more so like when you're married to someone, say if like something happens to my spouse or something happens to me, like right now, like, we're not married, so we're not going to have any say-so in what happens. And I'm like, I've been living with this man for 6 years. What you mean? I can't. You know, like, his mom would have the say-so in what happens. Like, I kind of experienced that, like, with my sister. Like, you know, like, if you're not, if, like, not being married, like, you don't really have
any
legal rights. Yeah, you don't have legal rights to that person. But yeah, so it's something that I struggle with because...
But what about common law marriage? I think that's something, right?
Yeah, but I think it's state to state.
Oh.
And
do you know how it works here in Virginia?
I don't. I think I've Googled it before. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think Google said that they abolished common law marriage previously. It used to be a thing, but now they don't. I think in Maryland it's still a thing, but I'm not 100% sure.
That's interesting. That'll be good information to know.
Yeah.
To see what, because it's kind of a little bit redundant if people have been together for a very long time.
Yeah, I agree.
And you can show that you lived at the same address. You technically should have some rights if anything were to happen to that person, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that would be fair.
Okay. I would agree.
Okay. All right. And no regrets so far with that decision?
No. I think the only thing is that, not a regret because it's, I don't know, I believe that anything is possible, but I think that now since becoming a mom, like, and my child having her dad's last name and like I'm the only one in the house who don't have that last name, it's very like, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, it kind of makes me think about it a little differently. I wouldn't say regret, but
something to think about.
Yeah, like just something that's on my mind and something that like bothers me a little bit. But yeah.
For everyone who's listening, I know on this particular episode there's been a lot of background noise, gloves moving, things coming undone. But I promise this is kind of going to be the last of that. But hey, it's a chair convo. We're live in the salon, so those things actually do happen. This is the reality of being at Locatu. Oh, okay. Yeah, the name is just a name, though. but I get you. I understand that sentiment. And you could possibly, there might be other ways around it. Because you could change your name if you wanted.
I don't think you can.
You can't?
I don't think you can change your last name. You can change your first name, but you can't change your last. Unless you get married. Yeah.
That makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah, you can change your first name. And that's actually something that I Googled like 2 weeks ago. So
that's a Google. Because I was like, there had to be a way around
that's
this.
That's what Google said.
Why can't I just change my name if I want to have my baby's name?
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah, but Google said you can't change your last name. You can change your first.
But do you ever think of maybe hyphenating her last name, your baby's last name? So it's yours and his?
That's so funny. No. When I was born, I had my mom's last name. And my mom passed away when I was almost three. And when my dad got custody of me. Yeah, it's okay. It happens, I guess. So when my dad got custody of me, he changed my last name. And so when I was younger, I wanted to have like a hyphenated last name or whatever. But I'm actually happy that it didn't happen. And I think it's just I don't really like hyphenated names. I don't know. It just doesn't sit well in my spirit. So I'm happy that I didn't do it, and I would never want my child. And it's not about her having my last name. It's about me having his. So I think that's the difference also.
Well, he's going to have to marry you now, if you're listening.
We'll see.
And since you had the baby, how's it been like maintaining all the things that you used to do pre-baby? So you had baby Moon, where it was you and him having that time for yourselves. But what's happened to all the other things in your life before?
It's been challenging, I would say, because, like I said before, like you can't just get up and do like whatever you want to do. So like going now and like just being like, oh, it's a Friday. I want to go somewhere. And like, I don't have, you know, like, I want to go somewhere on that day. Like, I can't do that, really. Like, well, I can because he's there. But then it's like, I don't know. I feel like you have to plan because you have to be considerate of each other's time.
Are you still breastfeeding?
Yeah, I am. Okay. Yeah. So I have to make sure that she has enough milk. She's older, so she doesn't drink, like, a lot of milk now. She eats solid food. But she still like her milk. So, like, in order to go to sleep, she needs to drink milk still.
Are you committed to, like, breastfeeding for a long time?
I am committed to at least a year and a half.
That's a long time.
Yeah, at first I was committed to a year, but she's 10 months now, and I'm like, okay, I think I can go to a year and a half now.
Well, do you think it's more about you than her?
Breastfeeding?
Yeah, because I haven't been a mom, but I feel like when it's time to wean babies off the breast, a lot of moms struggle. And they kind of go like, oh, she just wants it. She disturbs me every night. And I'm like, is it her or is it you who doesn't want to detach from this child that you have?
Excuse me. So I think, well, one, I've never really thought about it. But given that you just asked the question, I think that it's definitely one, it's easier throughout the night because you can just pop a boob in her mouth. That's one. Two, I think my decision to continue is just the fact that I'm producing milk. And so because I'm producing milk, I think that it's a natural thing to breastfeed. I think that...
But you know you're never going to stop producing.
No, you will.
Well, I know someone who's breastfed to like 4 and was still breastfeeding.
Yeah, I think you can. I think it's up till 5. You can.
Oh, then it stops.
Yeah, yeah. Your body will naturally stop. I think I will have to double check my doula, but I think it's up until 5. I'm not gonna go that far because, girl, you're 5. Get off my boobs. I need them back eventually. But I'm
like, no child is gonna be speaking full sentences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're not. No, you can have a bottle. Like if I pump like that, that's okay. But actually haven't, but no, for me, I think it's like a healthy thing. And if I'm a natural thing, but if I'm being honest, like there, she sleeps through the night, like pretty well. Especially if she doesn't sleep with me, but that's another story. If she doesn't sleep with me, she sleeps throughout the night. If she's sleeping with me,
she's going to want it.
She wants it. And I think we talked to the pediatrician about it and they said, it's just because it's habit. And right now she's not getting the boob just to drink the milk. She's not hungry at night. It's just habit. So once she starts sleeping by herself, which fingers crossed, we're going to start that soon. She'll probably not stop. Be on the boob at night, which is fine with me because no, I want my boobs back. I want them back. Like I am tired of wearing breast pads. I want them back. When I don't pump or she don't eat off of them, they hurt. I want them back. It's not a me thing. I'm just trying to do what's best for my baby. And the moment that I don't have to, oh, we're going to put some cabbage on these bad boys and soak them all up and they're going to be dry and it's going to be great.
Oh, well, tell me about that. Is that what happens?
Yeah, I don't think it's cabbage. I think it's actually lettuce. I think if you want your boobs to stop lactating. You put, you wear lettuce, like leaves of lettuce in your bra, and they will dry on up and it will stop.
Wow. The things I learned from you, my clients. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, honestly.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting. All right,
I just learned something completely new. I don't think I'd have learned that one in a while. So yes. Lettuce or cabbage, one of the two, we just have to confirm.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That sounds pretty cool. All right. I know you did start a business.
Yes.
What does it feel like being an entrepreneur?
It feels like I need to start over. No. So I started Miracle Wear in honor of my sister Miracle, who passed away in 2021 of COVID.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I really have kind of put my business on the back burner now because, I'm a mom and kind of financing your own business is a lot. It's an athletic wear company. I'm going to be the next big Nike, but we're going to wait on that. But yeah, that's what it's giving. Right now, and it's been a struggle just because of like motherhood and like the different like expenses that goes into that I'm not able to put into my business. However, like I am like super dedicated to relaunching and branding my business and marketing it better because, yeah, it's something that I really want to do in honor of my sister. Initially, like it felt great, I guess, to like, you know, do it the, I guess, quote unquote, right way, like get an LLC and, you know, make my own website and things like that. And like have clothes or athletic wear to like sell. It like felt great. But there's a lot of things that I think that I've learned about business with my first launch that I kind of took a step back in order to focus on like how to better market myself and my business. And yeah, that's something that I plan to work on this year in 2024, the rest of this year. And hopefully by 2025, we're gonna see some Miracle Wear on the street.
Well, entrepreneur to entrepreneur. I don't mind if we like pick our heads about that line of like Miracle Wear. And I think the foundation, I've been in business now for 9 years. July.
Oh, nice. It'll be July. Will be 9 years and 10 years.
9 years. So okay. Next year, 2025 is going to be 10 years. It's going to be big. Oh, watch out! It's yes. Coming. Lagos, it. US.
Yes.
10 years of locketeer.
Yes. I love that. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I think that the reason I'm actually standing here over your hair having this podcast today is because of the passion mm-hmm. I have for this business. So what is your driving passion for Miracle Wear?
My sister. She passed away of COVID in 2021. But really, there were like a lot of underlying issues that she dealt with. So she had diabetes and she was obese. And so I think that was really what like killed her, I guess. And that kind of sounds harsh. But prior to getting COVID in 2021, she actually became super dedicated to like losing the weight and things like that. And so, you know, she got herself a personal trainer and she was going to like dietitian, like meetings with like a dietitian to try to get her health in order. And I think for me, my why is my sister, and it's important for me to make sure that her legacy lives on and to make sure that, you know, people know her name and to make sure that I'm doing something to honor her while also doing something that's beneficial to myself. Like, you know, like I'm a smaller woman, but just because you're small doesn't mean that you're healthy, right? And so like making sure that, you know, I'm hitting the gym and I'm, you know, prioritizing my health, because at the end of the day, regardless if you're big or small, like that's the most important thing, to prioritize your health. And I think that's my why. And well, I know that's my why in helping other people who may be struggling with weight loss or just their health journey in general is something that I would be happy to give to them, because I felt like I wasn't able to give that to my sister.
Okay. So listening to you, your why feels like it's coming from a place of passion, there's mm-hmm. reason, there's purpose, and all of that. And one of the things you're doing, all of that, is that you want to provide athletic wear. Is it targeted towards a specific type of person, or is it for everybody?
No, it'll be for everyone. My first launch was very, it wasn't like a huge launch or whatever, but like my size, I went up to like 3X or 4XL. But honestly, with my second launch, I plan to go up to like 5XL and to really like target it towards anyone who's looking to be on a health journey. I don't care if you're a size small or a 4XL, you know, like just anybody.
Okay, and what is your unique selling point? Yeah, I feel like I'm using business type English now. what's unique about Miracle Wear? Why would I want to buy Miracle Wear over Nike or Lululemon? Well, I would never buy Lululemon; it's too expensive.
I think the affordability. Like I plan to be affordable, and then also, like, my why, like, if you care about, you know, someone being passionate about something and someone's story, I feel like a lot of people relate to people and companies based on, like, their story and where they came from and things like that. So if you care about that, then you care about Miracle Wear. And it'll also be affordable. And it's going to be cute. It's not going to be dry. And it's not about to be $60 for a pair. Like, no shade to Lululemon, but all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. That makes sense to me. I'm in the service business, which is very different from the product business. Mm-hmm. I don't have literally that much experience. I have made some in-house products. Mm-hmm. You know, mixed some oils that I've sold from time to time. And I've never really taken it serious. So I wouldn't say I'm a product expert, or mm-hmm. I have 9 years of experience of selling products. Mm-hmm. I literally sell every now and again to whoever likes what I use in the salon, and I'm like, hey, yeah, you could get one. Mm-hmm. And some people are faithful. They call me from all over the world when they've used it one time, even from the salon in Lagos, and then they come back. So I don't have the answers, but I'm just trying to talk through this business proposal with you. So you have the athletic wear. At this time, is that the only product that you intend selling?
Yep.
And so is there anything unique about the fabric, how it makes you feel, besides it being cute? Do you design the product yourself?
I will be designing the product. Initially, I did not, but this time around, like with my second launch, I will be designing the product. And the difference is, like, a lot of times, like, bigger people will complain about the fact that, you know, you'll see something in a size medium and something in a size 3XL, and they're supposed to be the quote-unquote same thing, and then they look completely different. Or they don't really cater to the fact that, like, bigger people have curves too. Like, you know, just because, like, you know, you're bigger, like, it's going to fit the same on a medium person and a 3XL person. You know, like, that's what Miracle Wear is going to bring. Like, it's going to definitely be quality fabric, and it's going to fit the same, and it's going to fit nice on a medium-sized person, 3X, 4XL person, because a lot of times, like, you know, I feel like even when you look in the store, like, you can go to, like, the junior section or the petite section or whatever, and then the moment that you go to plus-size section, it look like a plastic bag. Like, why I gotta get the plastic bag? Like, no, for real. Like, mm-mm-mm. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And you are in the gym constantly?
I am not. I have not seen the inside of a gym since before pregnancy. I cannot lie. But that's what I mean about marketing. And that's why, like, I said that I put it on the back burner, because I don't want to just sell a product to be like, hey, I'm selling a product. I want to live the lifestyle of the product that I'm selling. So because I'm selling athletic wear, like, I'm going to be back in the gym. I have not yet. I need to find time to fit that in my schedule. But
we're talking about it too.
Once I start fitting it into my schedule and start working out. And that's one of the ways that I plan on marketing Miracle Wear, through me working out in the product. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. Usually when people talk about athletic wear or the sort of business that you are in, nutrition is one of those things that comes side by side with it. Mm-hmm. So are you particular about what you eat? Vegetarian, vegan, carnivore?
I am not particular about what I eat right now. But again, like, that goes into when I do get serious about, like, rebranding and remarketing the business. Like, I plan on getting serious. Like, my spouse is a gym rat. He goes to the gym almost every day.
That's true. Is Miracle Wear unisex?
It will be. Okay. It will be. There will be a men's section. I think I will start with the women's section, and then as it grows, again, like, bringing in the men's section. So
I actually see you on the CV as somebody who likes things to be very perfect.
Yes, I do.
So I know you have this vision in your mind, just looking at you and talking to you. There's this vision in your mind. There's exactly how you want it. Mm-hmm. There's a way I might be wrong, but there's a way you probably know what you want your lunch to look like, what's going to happen in the first 5 minutes, what's going to happen in the...
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm a planner.
Yeah, which is a good thing. But I'm here to tell you to calm down.
Yes, I will try.
Just start. Nothing's ever going to be perfect. Nothing is ever, ever going to be perfect. So you're just going to have to start from somewhere. So maybe it might be... I have actually never launched anything I did in terms of a business. Mm-hmm. So, and that's because my spaces have been too ugly to even launch them on the day I'm starting. Mm-hmm. And I believe personally in using what I have to be able to get where I want to get. So I never wait for the big, big picture. I never wait for everything to be perfect. And there are people in my life who are like, how are you going to open like that? I'm like, well, I'm going to get the hair done. Exactly. There's a mirror. They can see their face. I could wash their hair. I don't need anything else. Mm-hmm. And as we kind of grow. So maybe I should tell this story. Might be helpful. What year? 2016, actually, because I started business in 2015. And I was renting the store. it was a small store in... I know you have no idea where this is, but Lagos, Nigeria, in Dolphin Estate. It was a very small store attached to, like, a bigger beauty store. And the lady had a space which she was using for a salon. So it was already kind of fitted into a salon. Mm-hmm. So it was easy. I just had to bring I think she even had towels there. I just, you know, on day one, I had everything I needed and I started the business. The rent was kind of high. We do not have 24 hours power in Nigeria. She was supposed to be providing me with power, but we kept on having clashes because when I had clients, she would not turn on the generator. I would be in a fix. Or if I had late clients, she wants to turn off the generator and go. It was just all of these things. And I'd already prepaid for power. So there was a lot going on. But fortunately, I was only committed to that space for 6 months. Okay. So at the end of the 6th month, I was like, yeah. So first, let's go back a little bit. In month one, I didn't even know if I wanted to do this. It was crazy. I am highly, and I say that not to brag, educated. There's no reason I should be doing hair in the context of how your education goes in Nigeria. There's no reason. You only do hair usually as a vocation. So when you did not have the opportunity to go to school and all of that, because nobody really goes to cosmetology school. People do back home, but it's rare that you expect your hairstylist to have gone to some kind of school. You pick it up from your aunt, or you go to a salon and you're an apprentice and you learn. So I shouldn't have been doing hair in the first place. But I had started writing this blog about a year before. People were looking for me. I left my job on a whim. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do hair. I'm just going to try. I don't even know if anybody's going to come. Nobody knows that I do hair pretty much. Let's just see what happens. So I start the business in July. Yep, July is the second half of the year. So I start the business in July. I come into the space till December because, hey, what if it doesn't work? I don't want to be in a long-term lease. By September, I was so frustrated because I was taking out of my savings to pay the one staff I had. We barely had customers. I was insisting I wanted to do locks. Everyone was saying, I think you should do weaves or perm or anything else because who has locks? So who's going to come and do their hair at yours? By December of that year, December 31st of that year, we were so busy that we walked till myself and Lara, the lady who worked with me at the time, we walked till midnight. We basically walked till the 1st of January 2016. And in that moment, I was like, I think this is going to work. We need to move. But I had committed to this space for 6 months, spent a lot of my savings, was barely making enough money to pay Lara. Talk more of surviving on my own. And I'm thinking I need to move to a bigger space. And I need to get out of this arrangement where I can't even provide power when I need it. So, cut the long story short, I found a bigger space. We closed, and since January of 2016, we closed traditionally for the first week of January as a holiday. But the first week of January 2016, we closed because I did not have a space. So I was like, yeah, we're taking a break after the holidays. But I was really trying hard to figure things out. We found a space maybe on the 7th of January. And the first day we walked that day was the 9th of January. I had used and squeezed everything and borrowed some money up to the point where I wasn't even sure if I should be borrowing money anymore to be able to get that space. So we had moved from a space that was kind of like this to a space that was about 4 times bigger. I didn't have money to do the plumbing. Myself and Lara painted the place ourselves. Usually that's kind of normal in America. In Nigeria, nobody paints anywhere themselves. The color paints how they get it done. But we didn't even do a good job. We just bought some white paint and because someone had moved out and there were like, you know, spots on the wall where they moved stuff from. So we painted it ourselves and we just opened. We hadn't done the plumbing, so we had to put like a big bucket where you had the drain. So every time you wash somebody's hair, you physically had to take the bucket out to, to empty the... It was no way to start a business. But people came, people were understanding, people kind of somehow could see through the pressure I was under and appreciate the effort. And slowly we have kind of built that space. And I'm so happy the space, we're still in that space right now in Dolphin, in Ikoyi. But slowly we went from like really shady floors to 1 year making enough money to retile it, changing the ceiling, you know, and there's still a lot more that we could do to make the space nice. Actually, it's still not nice enough for me to launch it. And it's 9 years later. So I say all of this. I feel like I'm now the one on the podcast to tell you my message to you today is it doesn't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. It might be actually just bringing one pair of miracle wear mm-hmm. here to sell to me. And your business has actually started. So thank cool you. Down. Count down on the perfection.
I'll try. It's hard. I feel like that's who I am as a person, but nope. I'll definitely try.
And even same thing for Locketed US, because I started up in 2021. Oh my God, it's 2024 already. Almost 3 years. It was August of 21. Fortunately, the salons here come kind of partially. They give you everything, the basics that you need. You have a wash head bowl basin. You have a chair, styling chair. And people do a lot of stuff with their space. But my first space was very bare. Just had 3 frames I bought for like $10 for 3 Michaels.
I love Michaels, by the way.
And I put them on the wall with the Velcro and the glue thing because I couldn't even afford for anybody to do anything with it. Mm-hmm. You know, my spouse gave me this lamp thing. He bought that for me at IKEA. We bought like the really basic stuff. And we opened, and I was in that space till last year, so almost 2 years, over 2 years, and I never really did anything with the space. Mm. Fortunately, we moved to Virginia, and now the studio looks amazing.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
It's taking some time, and it's taking just working with what you have. So nothing's going to be perfect. Your kid is going to be growing. There's going to be more demand on your time. You might even add more babies.
Oh no ma'am.
So
fingers crossed. That
so just do what it is you need to do.
Yeah.
Just do what it is you need to do so that we can keep Miracle's legacy on. Do you still have athletic wear from the first launch?
I do not.
Oh, so it's all done. Okay.
But
so you sold out. You sold out. What are you waiting for?
No, I need to get more like better quality. But I will though. I will.
Okay. All right. We'll be waiting for Miracle Wear to come up. Let's see. We've talked about it a lot already.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the hour and it's actually time to get your hair to the next stage and not bother our listeners with like water and all of that stuff or the dryer, because I think I want you to sit under the dryer for a bit. So let's try and process a bit more. But thank you so much,
no
Nia.
Problem.
This has been a fantastic conversation. Yes. And well, maybe we'll do it again and see next time when Miracle Wear has launched. No pressure, just saying.
Feels like pressure.
All right, thank you so much, Mia.
Thank you for having me.
This has been the Talking Locks with Locketed podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Chair Convos. You can find our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. I remain Adi Balogun, and today we were with Mia. Have a great one and continue to keep it locked with an attitude. Bye.